Talk CDL presents Carrier Spotlight. Learn more about the story behind the carrier and the people who make it run. Now, here's another Carrier Spotlight.
All right, welcome to Carrier Spotlight here on Talk CDL, the trucker show. Carrier Spotlight is designed to tell you, the driver, how the carrier got started, where the carrier is going, and where they're at today. Probably said that not in order, but that's the gist of the spotlight. Today, we're speaking about a carrier that goes by the name of National Carriers. And joining us today is the president of the company. His name is Jim Frank. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Troy.
You're welcome. And we also have with us Lauren Bridge. He's the vice president in charge of operations and sales. Lauren has been with the company for 41 years. And welcome, Lauren.
Good to be here.
Well, guys, why don't we go ahead and just get right into this and let's talk about National Carriers. Where did National Carriers get their start? What year was National Carriers founded, by the way?
Well, Carriers was incorporated in 1968, basically to serve a need of a packing plant that was built in Liberal, Kansas, and I think started production in 1969. The Jacobson family started the packing plant, and there is a need for transportation, both livestock in and either swinging beef or box beef out. And so National Carriers was born. John Jacobson Jr. started National Carriers basically to serve the packing plant. It was started with just a few trucks, all owner operators or fleet owners. We had one, there was a couple of gentlemen that owned more than one truck, fleet owners, but started out with an owner operator philosophy, basically. And basically, as the packing plant grew and that got going, National Carriers grew, and there just was a need for more trucks. And over the years, just kind of gradually grew to where we are today.
That's awesome. So 1969, you started out. So you said you actually started out as owner operator. So there wasn't any company trucks. What year about did you start taking on company drivers?
Oh, company truck operations. I'd say within 10 years ago or so, we were primarily owner-operator for a very long time, and owner-operators just became harder and harder to find, and we got into company truck operation, and I'd say Jim Frank was very instrumental in getting us off to the right start or getting us on track on the company truck operation.
Well, and as Lauren said, the demographics of the owner-operators changed. There's a lot of good business models out there for owner-operators. Being in the food business sometimes isn't attractive to a lot of these guys, although we still have a good core of owner-operators. Our livestock division, which is about 130 trucks, is 100% owner-operators and will probably continue to be. But in the reefer, which is our biggest division, it's more and more difficult to keep and find good independent businessmen. We're always on the lookout for them, but we've gone to right now our reefer operation is about 80% company driver.
Okay, so you're 80% reefer, and then the other percent would be strictly your cattle division. Do you operate in any other division, flatbed, van, tanker, or anything like that?
No, we have under the livestock umbrella is our live cattle operation, but also a hide division hauls hides out of our plants, wet hides, into a tanning operation that our parent company owns in Missouri.
Okay. So back in 1969, this was the Jacobson family. Is the Jacobson family still involved today with National Carriers, or has that been sold since then? How are we looking on that today?
There's been different ownership since then. I think the Jacobson family, the end of 1986 or 1987, stepped away from that business, sold the business, and then it's been under different ownership since then, a few different ownerships since then. Right now, we're owned by National Beef Packers, our parent company.
So that would be your main commodity then? You're more into the beef industry than anything, or I'm sure you have other customers besides National Beef, correct?
Oh, absolutely. If we took just the reefer operation, it represents 28% to 30% of our business. If we added our livestock and hide operation in, it's closer to 35% to 40% of our overall business.
Wow. So tell us tell us, you started out with a couple owner-operators back in 1969. Where were you, say, in 1979? Can you recall about where the company was 10 years later? What kind of a pace did you grow at? I mean, I believe you're over 700 trucks today. Is that correct, Lauren?
We're right at that 700 mark. If we went out and counted every one of those tractors today, would be at 704, I believe.
Is that strictly your company fleet, or is that including owner-operators?
No, that's everything. That includes, we have a agency division. We have, as Jim mentioned, a hide division, a reefer division, our livestock division. That's everything involved.
Okay, awesome. That's beautiful. So tell us about your operations today. I mean, you're obviously in the beef business. Tell us a little bit more as far as, tell your drivers, our potential drivers out there that are listening in here, what be the typical week in a driver's life if a driver wanted to know? I mean, and we're not trying to pinpoint down how many miles a driver would get or exactly where, but, you know, as far as freight lanes in a typical week with national carriers, or say even a typical 2 weeks, what would be the life of a driver within a week or two here at National Carriers?
We offer some alternatives for these guys. We've got three different divisions. We've got a regional Southwest that operates in the center of the country, kind of revolves around Texas and our plants in Kansas. A little bit shorter haul. Driver that lives in the area can get home pretty regularly. We've got a West Coast division that basically bounces back and forth from California out into the Midwest center of the country and bounce around a little bit, then go back west. We've got what we call a 48 state division. Drivers out a little bit longer, again, depending on where he lives. But the miles tend to be a little bit better in that long-haul division. Not as many transactions every week. But, you know, the thing we concentrate on is making sure, as our director of operations likes to say every day, we're going to load those trucks every day. And so we work real hard at that and building a good culture for the drivers. Every door in this company is open to them, including mine and Lauren's. And we spend a lot of time with them and have worked hard to build a family culture. And I think that's reflected in our turnover percentage. It's reflected in our current seated percentage. So we've built a nice culture here for the truck driver.
I'll say this. I personally have been in the trucking industry myself, Jim, Lauren, forever. You know, I'm 50. Which isn't forever, but I've heard of different carriers. I've done different things in the industry. And the one thing that I will say myself, I've never heard anything bad about National Carriers. When I talk to people at National Carriers, I'm hearing the turnover rate. You mentioned turnover rate, which in the industry right now, I believe they just said the turnover rate is probably at around 108 as an average. I know you guys are way under that. And then I also caught wind that you have a lease purchase program. I know you don't just stick a driver in there. And from what I understand, that's one of the reasons why you guys have a real successful lease purchase program. Did you want to touch a little bit about that, Jim or Lord?
Well, you know, not everybody's going to be successful in a lease truck for a variety of reasons. And we want to make sure before we put a guy in that. Now, if a guy comes to us and he's been with one of the competitors and been successful in a lease program or has been a successful owner operator, that's one thing. But to take a guy out of a company truck and just throw him in a lease truck, we need to understand that he's got a high probability of being successful, because it doesn't do him any good or us any good if he's not successful.
So tell me this. How many, just out of curiosity, when I look at fleet sizes, you know, 700 trucks to me is a company that doesn't say we're a mega gigantor. And it's also a company to me that doesn't say, hey, we're not small enough to where we hurt for freight. We really are in place. We're established. Tell me, how many miles do you know offhand? How many miles in a year does a fleet of 700 trucks at National Carriers run in a year? You have that number?
Well, we ran total about 65 million last year. Remember, our livestock operation is pretty short haul. They don't get a lot of miles in a week's time. They haul a lot of loads, but not a lot of miles. So in our regional fleet, it's the same way. They may not haul a lot of high utilization miles, but they're hauling a lot of loads. And it's all about the driver and us making money. If the driver's making money, we're making money. But, you know, in the long-haul fleet, a driver can expect, if he's willing to work a reasonable amount of time, he can expect 100,000, 125,000 miles a year.
That's beautiful. And $65 million, to me, is a lot. That's a big number. Next question I have is, do you have, and I know a lot of carriers have a system in place when they bring a new driver in to help adapt, you know, maybe driver liaisons, maybe something set up with their driver manager. Do you have a system in place that when a new driver makes that transition to come over to national carriers, do you have something in place that really helps mentor the driver and bring them along to really help them be as efficient and productive as they can be? Do you have something in place like that at all?
Well, there's definitely a learning curve with any new driver comes on board. And we work really hard with our driver managers for them to watch those new hires for the first couple of weeks, first month, 2 months, until they get acclimated to national carriers. I always looked, every truck company has a personality, and sometimes it just takes a little getting used to what that personality is. And then at the same time, our DMs are getting used to that driver. Every driver's got a different personality. And the DMs, they work with 40 different people, and they've got to learn those 40 different personalities. And those new ones coming on, it's going to take them a while and working with them to figure out how to handle that particular driver and how to work best with that driver.
Okay, very good. You know, the next question I have here on my list is, and this is just such a true fact, we're all human beings. You're human. Jim, you're the president of the company. You're a human being. You have problems. We all have a little problem here and there. Problems arise. And with dealing with 700 drivers, obviously, drivers are going to have personal problems. What do you have in place to help a driver that maybe has a problem at home, like maybe has an emergency on the road? Do you really go out of your way to get a driver on a plane or in a vehicle and get that driver to that emergency? How do you help a driver out when he's having a problem at home?
Well, and you hit on it, we're all human, and we all have personal lives and families, and we have, unfortunately, tragedies or mishaps that occur. And usually that our driver managers and our operations group take care of that. But a few years ago, we set up a director of driver services position. One of our very talented guys that's been in operations for years was a driver himself. And he kind of works outside the system to help these guys when it's something that may not be that is outside the system. And that driver may feel comfortable with his DM and talking about loads and miles and stops and customers. He may not feel comfortable about talking about a calamity he has at home. And Al does real well at that and again, sits outside the operation and can help a guy with a variety of things. And believe me, he stays busy.
He's a go-to guy for a driver when he might have an issue, as Jim pointed out. Very good program for us, and Al does a great job for us.
You know, I've been around the industry a long time myself, and I've been with different carriers over the years. I've been in the industry, and I've heard carriers say, listen, we have an open door policy. Some do, some really don't. Question I would have for Jim, Jim, you're the president of the company. If a driver has a concern, or can a driver really get to a manager and really sit down and address any concerns a driver may have? Again, 700 drivers, we're going to have a driver here and there that may have a concern about something. We can name different things that happen in a trucking company, but can a driver literally sit down? Do we have an open door policy there?
Well, I mean, you could come see our facility, and it's an open facility. I mean, we all have offices, we all have doors that close, but very seldom do you find them closed. And drivers walk in my office and Lauren's office and our director of operations office and Al's office on a regular basis. And sometimes it's just a visit. Sometimes they've got a legitimate concern that needs to be addressed. Something we started about, I guess 4 or 5 years ago, Lauren, was our first Friday driver forum. And that basically, we have that every first Friday of the month. And it's an open forum, 11 o'clock, we buy them lunch. And it's got the management team there. And Lauren facilitates that very nicely. And it's just drivers, you know, sometimes it's more dynamic than others. It just depends on the mix. But we've got an awful lot of good ideas out of it, a lot of things we've implemented over the years and things we've changed based on that feedback. And we've got our social media presence. We try to, I guess, periscope it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we try to get guys on social media that are out on the road involved in it. We get questions from them, kind of like the presidential debates and Google and Facebook having questions posed out there on them. And that's been really successful for us.
Well, I will say in my travels, I know that most people in any industry, if they're involved with their employees, with more interaction and realistically having that open door policy and like I said, getting actually involved with activities really does. I'll tell you, the one thing that I learned in more industries than anything, it's the way you make someone feel. I've often said to myself, you could pay me $1 million a week. If I'm not happy there, I'm out of there. So, you know, getting involved in drivers, that's to me, it's great news just to hear that. Let me turn to something else here. One of the big things right now in the industry with carriers is really keeping their drivers comfortable, equipment, if you will. Tell us about, I know national carriers always has the latest equipment, but can you touch a little bit about on your equipment and what you really do provide for the driver? Well, after all, that truck really becomes their home when they're an over-the-road truck driver. You want to touch a little bit on that?
Yeah, we've got, we equip our trucks with APUs, inverters. They're set up with refrigerator freezers. We've got a pet rider policy. We've got a passenger policy. And try to make these guys feel comfortable. The biggest thing, though, is to keep them moving, keep them making money. But we try to make sure they're comfortable. Like you say, they're in that truck more than their home.
One of the big changes was going to all automatics. Jim, I apologize if you mentioned that, but it seems as though an old-time truck driver doesn't want to drive an automatic until he drives an automatic and finds out how much more relaxed he is after being behind that wheel for a while, especially in city driving and have to stay off that clutch.
I'm glad you remembered that, Lauren.
And I would say this. I drove tractor trailer myself back in the day, and I was one of those guys that drove in everybody's favorite place, which is New York City. And I'll tell you, it was all stick shift. And when you're in New York City, your left leg gets real tired all day long. So I could see the advantages. And I've heard other drivers speaking of the advantage of an automatic truck. So that's awesome. If you have, like you said, APUs, you're set up almost like an RV, if you will, would you say?
Pretty much.
So how often do you upgrade your equipment? I mean, how what is like, you know, this interview is going to be on Talk CDL for some time. So we're not actually trying to say what actual year you're in now, but you are in today's year. How what's the oldest you have? 2 years, 3 years? What's the oldest equipment you have?
The oldest truck we've got is just hit 3 years old. We traditionally have been on a 48-month cycle. But the trucks we've leased in the last 2 years, we do track leases on our equipment. We put in a 3-year lease with an option for a fourth. We find that fourth year that the maintenance costs climb. They're less reliable for the driver and for our customers. So we're going to evaluate that as we go. And somewhere in that 36 to 48 months is that sweet spot.
So you're pretty much 3 to 4 years and you're upgrading that equipment.
Correct.
So tell us in your own words, realistically, why and how you view your drivers. How important is the truck driver, the Class A CDL driver, to national carriers? In your own words, how do you really feel?
They're the reason we're here.
Yeah, I don't have a job if we don't have our drivers out there doing their thing.
Yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell. Without them, we don't have jobs, and I agree with you. Heck, without them, we don't have anything, do we?
That's right.
Okay, so touch a little bit more on your perks, your benefits, your health, you know, all that stuff. As far as pay goes, again, I wouldn't want to put the actual pay per driver out there on this interview because in 6 months from now, you're going to have a pay raise, and then the interview really isn't going to be up to date. So you're pretty much are up. You're very competitive in your wages. I understand you guys just had a pretty big pay raise over the last year. Can you touch a little bit about pay and benefits and the perks, all those other things?
Well, and we try to be, we try to maintain ourselves, not at the top of the heap, but close enough to see it. And we offer 401k with matching funds, health insurance, for all our company employees, dental. It's important that these guys and their families have that. Pay detention pay, we pay layover, breakdown pay. And at the end of the day, it's not about what the cents per mile is. It's about them having a good, solid, steady paycheck week in and week out. And we work real hard at that to make sure we're fair with the guys, So let's face it, the variables they have out there, maybe weather, maybe a truck breakdown, maybe a customer that just can't quite get it unloaded. We bend over backwards to make sure we're fair with these guys.
Okay. And you did mention pay, breakdown pay and other things. So, and I believe that's more like what we would call the accessorial charges. And if you could touch a little bit about that and maybe even the amount of touch freight that National Carriers has.
Well, being in the food business, we have a lot of freight that requires unloading. We don't want our drivers doing that. We pay for lumpers, and you know, not only does it take the driver's hours away from driving it, which is where he makes his money, it also opens up to injuries and things that are just a bad deal for everybody. So we, you know, even though our freight, most of our freight needs to be unloaded, our drivers aren't the ones that are doing it.
Okay. And how about the accessorial charges? Where are we at on that? What would you figure a driver maybe picks up another $100+ a week just in detention pay, layover pay, extra stop pay? Yeah, I'm sure there's others that I haven't touched on yet. Go ahead.
Well, we'd like to see the detention pay down and not have the driver making money off detention. It's good that it's there in case that does happen, but the less time he's at a dock, more opportunity he has to make the mileage pay out there running. But there will be a little detention. Hopefully there's no layover. Again, he's out there making money running miles instead of sitting around. In case a truck breaks down, the driver does get paid if the truck does break down. So I wouldn't think it – we wouldn't want it to be $100 extra a week. But if there's a reason for that, then, yes, it'll be $100 or it'll be $200 or it'll be whatever that number is, especially if that guy sat all week. We're going to make sure he's taken care of.
And, Lauren, the reason I asked that question – is because I've been in the industry just like you. I haven't been in it 41 years, but I've been in the industry quite a long time. And some of these things really come to mind as I've spoken to drivers over the years. And, you know, when a driver calls a recruiter or a company, and the first thing they want to know is, hey, what do you do in case of an emergency? That obviously told me those drivers had emergencies and maybe didn't get taken care of. Again, I'm not here to put other companies down, but, you know, for example, I get asked that question a lot. You know, if I'm sitting, am I sitting there for free? You know, do you pay layover pay? Drivers ask that question for a certain reason. So I'm just glad to hear that National Carriers is just up to speed on all that. Plus your equipment. I got to tell you something. If I was back on the road, I think I'd want to drive for National Carriers just because of that equipment you have as far as that. And also, I wanted to touch real quick on the rider and the pet policy. I know you mentioned that a little while ago. Is there a limit to what they can have as a pet? Because I'll tell you, I've seen, believe it or not, out there on the road, I've seen anything from potbelly pigs to snakes and trucks. Is this just basically a regular pet policy, dogs only? How does all that work?
Well, it's supposed to be dogs, but I don't think we've ever had a potbelly pig. We may have had a snake, and I don't want to know about it. But you know, we try to keep it to a reasonable size dog, try to keep it to one, and I stress try, because you know, there's a safety factor at some point. But we've got guys out there with 60, 80 pound dogs and, or a couple small dogs, and that you'd open that truck door and you could almost eat off the floor.
Okay, so going back to actual hiring and running lanes. Let's talk about that just for a second here. I know you are pretty much a 48-state carrier, but from what I understand, you're not a real big Northwest carrier, like up into Montana. You're not a real big Washington, Idaho, Oregon, or anything like that. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes, we get a handful of trucks between Idaho, Oregon, and Washington a week, but it's not very many.
Okay. And then again, how about the New England states? From what I understand, that's not like your big traffic lane, is it, the New England states either?
Well, we get a few up there also, but, you know, south of the New England area down in Jersey, the boroughs, eastern Pennsylvania, Maryland, we're in there quite a bit every week.
Yeah. I was looking at your hiring map, and it looks like about Sacramento, California, straight across up to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and south, with one or two states out of there also, and I think the bottom half of Florida is a no-go also for you, and maybe the southeast corner of Texas and also the southwest corner over to El Paso, Midland down to El Paso is a no. But other than that, and southern New Mexico, other than that, it looks like from Sacramento to the East Coast, you hire pretty regular for your divisions. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's real important that we hire in our where our traffic lanes are, so we can get a guy home regularly and easily. We do put some trucks in El Paso, but it's not very regular. And you hire a driver there that wants to get home every 2 or 3 weeks, it becomes a hardship for everybody. And they become frustrated, and we end up spending extra money. And we run South Florida. But trying to get a guy home to Miami or Key West is difficult. And so we try to hire drivers that we know we can have a high degree of certainty to get them home when they want to get home.
So tell me, Jim or Lauren, in your own words, tell me, why should a driver pick up the phone and call National Carriers and come make a career with you people?
I'd say if a driver wants to be treated right, wants to have the opportunity to make a good living, and we make sure that we hire, if he doesn't live in Montana, because we're going to be hiring our turnover, they live in the right spot. National Carriers is a great place to be. And we talked about it earlier. There's Jim's door is open. My door is open. If a guy has a beef, he can come in and talk to us. Our job is to provide this driver with a way to make a good living. Drivers sometimes pick and choose what they do, and it's up to us to educate them also that we're doing the best. We're making decisions that's best for them, whether they think that or not. And if they listen to us and let us plan them, let us get the miles on them, they'll make a good living here.
You know, I almost forgot. I wanted to ask you, as far as terminals go, your orientation is in Texas. That is correct. Irving, Texas, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so there is no other place that you have an orientation. How about other little terminals? Do you have any other terminals besides Irving?
Well, we've got both the beef plants, Dodge City, Kansas, Liberal, Kansas. We have a presence there. We've got our main shop actually in Liberal. Then we've got a couple storefront offices. We've got drop yards all over the country. But we're pretty much centralized. We do have orientation for our livestock and hide guys in Liberal, but all the reefer guys are in Irving.
Okay. And currently your orientation is what, about 3 days of drivers in town for 3 days?
That's the plan.
Okay. It's a paid orientation. They, from what I understand, they have their own separate hotel. They're brought in. Orientation is paid after after completion, I think they get a paycheck on their first pay. I think meals are provided, and then they're assigned a truck, and the truck does go home. And that's one of the things that, you know, I almost forgot to ask you about, Jim. A driver does take the truck home. They're dispatched out of their house. I know there's a lot of companies out there that if you live within 200 miles of a terminal, you have to bring that truck to the yard in order to drive for that company. In fact, there's some companies out there, if they don't care where you live, you have to bring that truck to their yard. A driver, their terminal is their house with National Carriers. That is correct.
Well, there's some advantages to them taking time off with the truck here. We can get it in the shop, get it ready for them. You know, we're very proactive in what we call predictive maintenance. And we know what we've had problems with on certain trucks, certain models. And we'll take a look at those on a regular basis. We do 30-day inspections when we can. But, it's a hardship for a guy if he lives 150 miles from here and we can load him close to the house, that's what we're going to do. And we try to make sure all our equipment's secure. And when they go home, it's empty and it's parked in a secure, safe place.
Okay. So tell me this. What's the future? What's the long-range plan? I mean, does National Carriers have a growth plan, expansion, maybe another terminal, more divisions? What's the future like at National Carriers?
Well, you know, we want to grow. I don't know that the economy is suitable for that right now. We're pretty conservative in what we invest in. We've got to have a decent ROI, and we've got trucks on order we can buy this year. Whether or not we take delivery is another matter. It's going to be based on what the economy says. Putting trucks out there is one thing, but making sure they're making money and that driver is successful is another.
So basically you're saying we got to keep a balance. We don't want to just keep adding trucks if the economy is a little soft. We want to be able to maintain and feed every driver we have. If we take on extra drivers when the economy isn't the greatest, we run the risk of hurting our current drivers. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Guys, I would ask you, Jim, do you have any final thoughts before we go ahead and wrap this up?
No, we appreciate the time and appreciate you putting us on the air, although that's a first for me, I think. I'm sure Lauren's the celebrity he is. He's probably done this many times.
I have to give that some thought.
Lauren, do you have any final thoughts on national carriers as a whole, or do you think we've covered pretty much everything that we want to cover today?
Well, I can end it with this. National Carriers has been a very big part of my life. It's a great company. It's been good for a lot of guys that make their living out on the road, as well as for us who've made our living in the office, working with those fine guys, fine men and women that make their living out on the road. So it's just a damn good company.
Lauren, 41 years with a carrier, you've had to see a little bit of a change there from cab overs to flat tops to the big double bunk condos. What do you think?
There's been a change or two, that's for sure. From 4 to 4.5 miles a gallon now to 7.5 to 8. That's a big change.
That's incredible. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I'm going to go ahead and just give my final thoughts for all these drivers out there listening into this carrier spotlight on Talk CDL, the trucker show. My final thoughts is this, drivers. If you're looking for a carrier, a legitimate, genuine company that cares, in Lauren's own words, they actually care about the driver. In Jim's words, we have not only an open door policy, but if you come and visit us, we have an open floor plan. Everything's open. So when you walk in, you can see that this carrier actually does put their trust in their drivers, and it really is one big family. From modern equipment, I don't know. I believe they have Kenworths and some Freightliners right now, but who knows what they'll have tomorrow. But, a carrier that keeps their equipment only 1 to 3 years old, we all know as truck drivers out there that we don't want to go to a carrier that has somebody that they're going to stick us in with that's 10 years old. We're getting at least newer tractor trailers, and I'm sure the trailers also are fairly new with national carriers. Health benefits, 401k, direct deposit. You heard them say there's a pet policy and a rider program. You heard them say that they have a driver appreciation every month. It just sounds like a good company as a whole. So if you're looking to form a career and maybe retire, and maybe even advance and get a truck, they have an owner-operator program. It sounds like they have many different things that they offer their drivers. Till next time on Spotlight, I'm Troy Austin, your host, with Talk CDL, the trucker show.
Carrier Spotlight is a Talk CDL production. Be sure to listen for our next Carrier Spotlight, where you, the driver, learn more about the great carrier companies out there. Be safe, and thanks for listening to Talk CDL.